So when I one of these days I had to go to the American consulate to get my visa approved, and I walked through the Central District by myself. Two brown shirts got a hold of me. One on the left side, one on the right side. They said, "Where are you going?" So I said, "I'm going to the American embassy." "What for?" I said, "Well, I get my visa approved." Well, they said, "We have some other job for you to do first." I said, "What's that?" "Well, you have to come with us to the barracks." So I figured that's the end of me, but I want to kill a few of them before I get killed. So I turned around and we walked toward the barracks. And I knew where the barracks were. They were not too far from where I lived in the Rosauerland. Just as we turned the corner to the entrance of the barracks, these two fellows saw a convoy of trucks being loaded up with brown shirts. And they recognized it was a trip to the suburbs, where in the outer suburbs, the 21st district, which was populated by a lot of communists and anti-Nazis, which used arms, gunfire and firebombs to get rid of the Nazis in the local district. They would need these troops, this convoy, to fight the communists in the suburbs. These two fellows, which escorted me, didn't feel like getting involved in this little fight. And so they told me, "Scram." And they themselves jumped into a doorway where they couldn't be seen by their colleagues. And I left. Yeah. That was a very close call. And that's actually the closest call I had during my stay in Austria at that time, before I left. We left on different routes. My brother went through Italy and to France and Belgium. We met in Antwerp. I went through Austria, Germany, and crossed over to Belgium in Aachen. I was allowed to take $10 with me, or something like that. But I think the Society of Friends, it's called, we didn't know about this, of course, at that time, but somebody told us that a certain address in Antwerp, under the name of Gildersmith, we could get some additional funding. And we got up there and they gave us a few more dollars and some help to get on the ship.
Was it a Jewish organization?
No, it was the Quakers.
Quakers.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Okay.
One more thing about this early background about the Boy Scouts. Many of these Scouts, as I said, were Jewish and partly Jewish, which were not allowed, of course, to serve in the German army, and therefore had to leave anyway. They survived in different parts of the world, and in the last few years, last 10 years, I would say, somehow we found each other. There's a fellow in Australia, a couple in California, two or three in London, one in Switzerland, one in Aachen, one went back to Vienna. And we decided to have a reunion, the 50th reunion after the Anschluss, to meet again And of course, I suggested that when I met one of my buddies on my trip in 1982, I think it was, and I suggested we should, for 1988, plan a reunion. And so we, over the last 6 years or so, we arranged this. And of course, it was planned to be in Vienna. But when Waldheim came into power, I certainly didn't want to come to Vienna to celebrate. And many of the others who lived in America felt the same way. People in London or in Australia or in Germany didn't feel this way. So we had a dispute, and the meeting never took place. The reunion never took place. I tried through the Austrian embassy. See, I lived in Washington, had many contacts in Washington for the last 10 years. And I talked to the Austrian ambassador. And I summarized this whole thing in a letter to the editor, which I'll give you. The embassy tried to help me. Like the German embassy helped German refugees to return, and they pay for their return trip, and they pay for the hotel there, and they really want to make them welcome to point out that the situation has changed in Germany. Mm-hmm. Austria is completely different. There was no help, no intent to help, and it reflects the attitude of Waldheim and his friends. I don't think Waldheim is Austria. There are many people in Austria which are, they recognize the virulent anti-Semitism, the things they owe the Jewish community, like Freud and many writers like Werfel and Schnitzler and greatest writers and the greatest scientists, Schrödinger, the greatest doctors like Freud and so forth are Jews, and established a school in Vienna of this type. And it's going to take another maybe 10 to 15 years for the Austrian people and in general the media in Austria to recognize what they owe to the Jewish people.
Weren't there some outstanding Jewish scientists too?
Yes, Schrödinger, for instance.
Teller
was a Hungarian.
Oh.
There were many very bright Hungarian scientists. But in Austria we had Franz Mach, who generated the Mach number, that's the speed for spacecrafts, that's based on him. Schrödinger, the Nobel Prize winner in the foundation of statistical mechanics and quantum mechanics and so forth. But an interesting part of this late history in my life in Austria. Remember, I left when I was 20 years old, and that is when you're supposed to begin a career or are in the midst of your formal education. As I mentioned, my father was very concerned and tried to be helpful to the Jewish community. People recognized what he told them many years ago, that you have to have a trade rather than a profession, because when you have to emigrate, like he knew one has to be a doctor, to be a lawyer, and especially an accountant, it does not help very much in foreign countries. So he gave courses in how to do interior decoration, how to scrape the wall, how to paint the ceilings, how to do all the things which has to be done in order to use your hands. And because I was employed by him ever since I graduated high school, and formally took the vocational course in Vienna at the same time as I studied in the university, but I knew I will not complete my university course, the School of Architecture, but I knew I had to finish my vocational training, which I did. And after the Anschluss, this is the
Is that like a diploma?
Yeah, this is the diploma from the vocational school. Mm-hmm. And I graduated after Hitler marched in. So here's my diploma, my statement that I finished the school, the Freisprachen, that means I became a qualified tradesman. Mm-hmm. Heil Hitler.
I'll be.
Uh-huh.
Amazing.
And of course the graduation exercise, which was held in the school with the 150 students which graduated at the time, I wasn't allowed to attend. I was the only Jew there. And but the director of the institute was a good friend of my father, and I was by far the best student they had for the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
Which was no magic. I was, first of all, I grew up in a home which practiced this trade. Secondly, right. I went to college, which university, which is not the background of most of the other students. They go to this vocational school after the junior high school.
I see.
Senior high school has to be paid in Europe, and the formal education. The required free education in Austria ended at the junior high school, so that most people, most middle class people, could not afford the high school, and certainly not the college. Very expensive.
All right, in relation,
so I got this diploma.
I see.
In the director's office, 2 days after the graduation exercises, when he let me in through the back door and at night so that nobody could see me. And
gave you that. What we're looking at, so the tape will understand, would you clarify exactly what we're looking at? You did mention it, but particularly this, explain.
Well, this little card.
It's a little card, yes.
Which is issued by the Trade Association of Viennese painters and
decorators, right?
And it
certifies right.
That I finished the course, the 2-year course of interior decoration,
mm-hmm.
and that the secretary and the trade commissioner certified, assigned it under the name Heil Hitler.
Yes, isn't that amazing?
And the date is July 4th, 1938.
That is historical, yes.
So my father gave these courses. Mm-hmm. These are practical courses to a lot of well-known doctors and accountants and lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
Very few engineers. The technical profession was not too well represented Jews were not too well represented in the technical profession. My brother, my older brother, 4 years older, went to the university to study electrical engineering, and he finished but didn't get a diploma during the Hitler period. Even before then, before then he had the same experience I had in my course of architecture, but in electrical engineering he found many more Nazis, and he got beaten up a couple of times, not severely, but they didn't want him in the class, and there was more violent anti-Semitism in the technical universities, in the technical
part of it,
part of it, than in the humanistic part of it.
Would you say that is because the technical section lends itself to a lower level of intellect? More of a working man type of person?
I never heard this analysis, and I don't think this is true, but
That was my thought. Because I found in this country, too, when there's anti-Semitism, it's more brazen and outstanding in the working class. At the upper levels, it's kind of subtle.
Yeah.
That's the point I meant. Something to think about. Didn't mean to interrupt you.
I don't know where I just wanted to mention that we taught these people what we did in Vienna with our hands.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that it is completely useless when you come to the United States.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the technique here is entirely different. To give you an example.
Yes.
In Europe, in Vienna especially, we paint the walls and ceiling standing on an A-frame ladder. An A-frame ladder is like this, and you straddle this top.
Oh.
You straddle the top.
Yeah.
And you walk with the ladder.
You make a jump.
No, not jump. You walk. You lift, shift your weight, you lift this up, move this over.
And it moves.
And it takes a little training, and I had this training, and I gave this training to other people. And you can even walk around the corners by having little loose hinges.
Amazing.
And what is extremely important is that you don't have to climb up and down every time you want to shift. You go from one spot to another. Especially important when you have to paint the ceiling.
Right.
You know, you paint the ceiling, you go from the end to the end, and you walk back and paint with the other hand.
Mm-hmm.
And this also goes for two-story high vestibules, for instance, where you stand on a ladder which is about 15 stories, 15 ranks high.
Yeah, there you are.
The other aspect, of course, is that in America it's all paint.
Oil-based
paint and latex now, of course.
Yeah.
But in Europe, the paint is all watercolor, water-based, casein-based paints. And the walls are prepared by washing, by plastering, by washing again, and then undercoat, and then several other coats on top of it, so that the paint job lasts at least 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But here, every apartment has to be painted every 2 years.
Oh,
three
yes.
years. And it's a different
world.
When I came to the United States and started with my uncle, who took over, remember, my father's decorating business, and he explained to me that everything I learned in Vienna, I should forget, and let's start from scratch here. Unfortunately, when I came here in 1938, it was just the Depression was just over, and we had very little work to do, and I did work as a painter for the first 2 months.
But that was in New York?
Yeah, New York.
Mm-hmm.
I I was unemployed very soon after, and in 39 the Council of Jewish Women sent me to Des Moines, Iowa.
Of all places.
I was put on the bus,
mm-hmm.
and at that time, let me look at what date it was.
You were still unmarried, is that correct?
That's right.
And sent alone on a bus?
Well, I was 21 years old. And, I learned English.
What was the purpose of sending you to Des Moines? To work
there? Yeah, to work mm-hmm. there, because the council was concerned about what the immigrants would do.
Mm-hmm.
Just like now. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you had learned English by that time? Some?
Not quite.
These are addresses you're checking?
We could probably figure out would it have been 1940.
Oh, yeah. It was in February 39. I went to Des Moines and stayed there till July. And there I worked for a fellow named Marx. Marx Sportswear. And it was a very nice way to really, when I got there by bus, and I passed through Pittsburgh. It was, I remember the day when it came down. Yeah, it came down 30, Highway 30.
Right.
You didn't have it in the parkway, and I came into this town, and I just amazed with it. And I expect when I get to Des Moines, which was about the day, 2 days later, I will see all kinds of Indians and cowboys roaming around there. I didn't have no idea what to expect. I got there, as I say, in February. It was one of the worst Februarys they ever had. The snow was 3 feet high. All the stores, everything was closed. And but I thought I had to be at the appointed place, and I walked for about 2 hours through the snow.
Oh my!
Couldn't find anybody there when I got there.
This was a store, a retail establishment.
No, there was a factory, sportswear factory. And I was hired as a general handyman. I started to. I was painting his warehouse, storage rooms, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Helped pack some of the things. But before I got to that area, I had to shovel a lot of snow. First of all, in his home, and he was very friendly, very sociable, and he had two daughters. Who were apparently very available. And when he heard that I started architecture and I would like to take additional courses to finish, he made it a point to take my... I took my records from Vienna. I had it with me. He sent it up to Ames, Iowa, which is a very good school. And they promptly got lost there. My the daughters showed me how to drive a car. I never knew how to drive a car. We didn't have a car in Vienna. And in general, it was not too bad a stopover point. Whenever I had a chance, I went to the movies. 10 cents, you know, you get in the morning, you can sit there as long as you want to, and learn English this way.
Mm-hmm.
I also found I was speaking as an immigrant to all the churches there, the Presbyterian, the Methodist, and they all had one of the Presbyterian ladies had an English class for immigrants, and there were three or four of new immigrants in town, and so we took her course, which was very helpful. At the end of 39, no, in the middle of 39, I got word from Vienna that it was possible if I, it would be possible perhaps to get my parents to come to the United States. I would have to work through the State Department, I guess. But it was suggested that that if I joined the army, I would have a better chance to have the parents move, come over.
Yeah.
Well, I volunteered for the army out there, and then I went back to New York because it was I was told it can it's easier than New York, and the army wouldn't take me because I was not a citizen. So from August 39 to April 41, I was back in New York, and when I came back in July 39, I went to 6th Avenue and employment agencies there. There were a lot of employment agencies on 6th Avenue. They have these signs out, dishwashers and handymen and so forth. And so I there was nothing available for painters. I finally volunteered to be a dishwasher in a kosher hotel in Far Rockaway. The hotel was called The Elite, and it was, they wanted, of course, experience, and I claimed to have an experience. So. When I got there, they wanted a busboy. So I became a busboy. They had a dishwasher who was a refugee from Yugoslavia, Jewish refugee from Yugoslavia. And the place we were allowed to stay was in the basement. There was a closet about 6 by 8 with double bunks on one side. And he had the lower, he had the, I think he had the upper bunk, I had the lower bunk. And work was from 6:30 in the morning till about 11 at night. With 2 hours during, after lunch, you can go to the beach and behave. So,
what were you paid in those days?
Oh, well,
do you remember?
I don't remember. It was, it was, see, the
insignificant.
It was insignificant. It was, of course, the tips were important at the time, and I forgot what they were. This hotel, in general, not only the Elite, but anybody who hires a busboy like this, it's room and board is provided. You know, you had the room and you had the board.
Okay.
And so they pay was less important. I was glad I got a job.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned this little story because it, because later on, when I get to my other stories, they joined the army, and the army sent me to college, and they went to NYU for a while. And I was cut out, called out of class in 43, or something like that, 43, by the FBI, they wanted to know about this fellow who was roomed with in the lead. It turned out that he was a German spy who came ashore from a submarine, with the stuff from a submarine, and wanted to establish himself as a resident, so he had to get a job, any job he would do. And they asked me where I knew where he went. They knew he went to Chicago after the season was over. The hotel closed after the season. It's a summer resort. And I stayed. If I would have known that, I would have choked him with my hands. He became very active in the summer trip. But this is how they established themselves.
Posed as a Jew.
Oh, yeah. He didn't want to talk very much. He did talk German, of course. Told me all about the difficult time he had to cross over from Yugoslavia to Italy and got the ship, bought a ship, and stored away. But